We'll be looking at a short verse, verse 3. Last week, we, as I mentioned already earlier, we looked at the preface to the Ten Commandments. And today we're looking at, and we read, or you recited, question and answer number 45, that the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, in the Institutes of Biblical Law, some of you, a number of you have read that, you're aware of that, R.J. Rushdoony says that you could also read this, or understand this, or think of this, like, you shall have no other law before me. Or you shall have no other power before me. And this is because the law of God reflects the character of God, and it is inspired and given by him, praise God. And so we can say, you shall have no other law before me. Now we have a law here in this land, of course, you know that we have the U.S. Constitution. And as amazing as it may be in brevity and in the wisdom of godly men whom the Lord put forth, it cannot become our God, or it cannot have a priority over his law, and nor should the state ask it to be that, or demand that we submit our consciences to it. And all law has some power, of course, has authority behind it, and so we can also think, you shall have no power before me. You shall have no power before me. The people of God worship God by keeping his law above all others and submitting to his authority in our hearts also above all others. And now it's natural for those who are unregenerate, those who are unregenerated by the Holy Spirit, to try to make gods of someone or something. It's very natural. We see it in our culture now all the time because they know inherently they need a god. They need something, someone. And they're aware at some level that they are weak and that Darwinism or humanism, no matter what they say intellectually or sound intellectually, it is worthless. It's worthless. It's hopeless theory. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that God, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. He has put eternity in their hearts, the hearts of man, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. No one can find that out but by the law of God and the grace that we know in Jesus. So the Greeks did that, right? The Greeks and the Romans, they had multiple gods. Some of them were really strange. Our kids, when they got to Roman or Greek history and then they got to Roman history, and we didn't do all the mythology because it's just gross, some of it. They got to that, and when they read it, they usually come and say, Mom and Dad, that's just totally weird. How can they even think like this? So, they, you know, it's just the imagination of men, and they were right. So the redeemed can know the true and living God. But, dear family, we all know we still struggle with keeping God as the only object of our worship. He alone is worthy of it. Many people and some who call themselves Christians have a view of God where he doesn't hate sin. He doesn't punish sin. There is no wrath of God. And there's so no need of atonement, whether they see that or not. But that is blasphemous. It's unworthy of our God, and it's basically idolatry. It's the worship of self, because they don't want to face the fact that their sin deserves punishment. They deserve hell. And so they create a God that they can understand. It fits their human notions. I'd like to read Isaiah 46, just a few verses, but really, a few verses from Isaiah 46, but really, Isaiah 42, 46, has, it says much of what I am to read in many different ways. But Psalm 46, 5, beginning in verse 5, says, to whom will you liken me? This is the living God. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of a bag and they weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on their shoulders. They carry it and set it in its place and it stands. It's not living. From its place, it shall not move. The one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. And then the Lord God says this, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Some versions say, I will do all my will. So one way to remember who our God is, I believe, and I'm going to conclude as we come to the table. One good way to remember, certainly on the Lord's Day we remember, praise God, but we're to remember the object of true worship is to think about the names of our God. And we do that, we will sing it in just a minute. And so I'd like us all to think just of a few of these as we prepare to come to the table of the Lord, to the true and living God who's commanded us to come. El Shaddai. We'll be singing that song this morning. That means God Almighty. He alone has all power, and thus his law is supreme. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. We've also acknowledged that he is our shepherd this morning. He is our shepherd, and he cares for us, and he guards us. Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. He made peace possible for us by sending a Redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He provides, and he provided a sacrifice for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. He has cleansed us by the blood of Christ, who shed his blood for us, who poured himself out for us. Jehovah Rophe, Jehovah heals. He has healed us. He has healed us by wounding and killing his own son. He bore our stripes. And then Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. He is here, and he's honored at his table. Let's pray. God Almighty, you alone are God, and there is none like you. Lord, we desire to worship you as the only true and living God, as you have revealed in your holy word. Oh Lord, keep us from false gods and from ever worshiping or desiring another law or another power above you, or fashioning in our mind a God of our making, or entertaining any thought unworthy of who you are. You are God, our shepherd. You are the God of peace, the God who provides, the God who sanctifies, the God who heals, the God who saves and is present with us. Oh Lord, may you be glorified now as we come to this communion meal, and we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.